And in addition to saying welcome, I want to also tell you that we are really, really sorry to have heard that some of you were getting some toll charges on your telephone. Now, that was not us placing that toll charge on your telephone, and it wasn't our conference call service placing that toll, because we don't have any financial information from you. It just simply could not have been us. However, some of the cellular companies became greedy, and they decided to plug a charge in. Now, not all of the cellular companies did that, but a few did. And our conference call company became creative and decided to create a protection for you. So they created a special number for cell phone users to have that they completely own, and your cellular company cannot tap in on it for an extra toll charge. So I sent this in our blessing announcement this week, and it will be there every week in the blessing announcement. So if you don't want to write it down, but I'm going to give it to you right now just in case you didn't get it and you want to hang up and call back. So that new blessing number is all the same except for the last two digits, but I'll give you the whole number. It's area code 712-775-7016. And if you want to sign out, call back in. Now, this is only applies to cell phone users. People on landlines were not victimized by that at all. So it's just one of those things that goes along with the human greed factor, and every now and then we have to patrol for it. So also, we lost our ability to record for about 3 weeks. We have it back now. So all of our calls will be recorded. You can go back and listen to our messages and tell your friends about it, and they can listen to the messages also on ChristBlessing.org. And, well, that's it for our functional announcements. I would like to just have a quiet moment in which we all catch our breath and arrive. I think it's so important when we're in any place of spirituality or contemplation or higher awareness that we just take a moment first to arrive, because the material world can be so distracting. It can take us so far outside our contemplative self, our spiritual self, our sacred self. And what we want right now is to just center ourselves in our heart. So take a deep breath. Be still. Be quiet. And be with God. And as you're getting into that place, I would like to begin taking some calls from our community members. We always benefit by what you have to say, whether it's asking for a blessing or giving us your benefits of a blessing. To everyone, we benefit. And it helps to create these very special connections in our congregation, among our participants, with our listeners, and those seeking to be in the presence of Christ. So I'm going to open the line for a caller from area code 641. And, well, I'm working on it. You're on from area code 641. You're on, and it's so good to have you.
Glenda?
Yes?
I would like a blessing for a longtime friend named James Duke. He was rushed to the hospital yesterday due to a stroke. And he's in his 60s or even 70s now. So we would like to say some healing prayers for him. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I have his name written down on my list.
Thank you.
Very good. And we have a caller from area code 310, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Gina from California.
Oh, hi, Gina. Hi.
Hey.
So nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Hello to you and hello to everyone. I would like to ask you a question. I've heard that depressed is actually deep rest, the need for deep rest. Did you understand what I said? Because it's a little
Yes,
loud.
I do.
So I've been able to do that the last 3 weeks staying with my sister. And first, I would like to know if there's anything that Yeshua referenced about the need for deep rest when you feel this way. And the second part of that is, can you give a blessing to me and my mother? Because with all the depression that I've had, it's caused her a lot of heartache.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Gina. You are on my list all the time for blessings, and especially today. And what I would like to share with you is that we know in the scriptures, we know of several times when Yeshua went to the desert just to fast and meditate and pray. And we don't know about all the other times he might have gone. But just imagine how many people were hitting upon him all the time for energy, for healing, for faith, hope, encouragement. Think about all of the starving people, the critically diseased people, the beleaguered people, the oppressed and abused and injured people that just flocked in the streets around him. I think you can imagine how deeply his energy was tapped. And he had an amazing abundance of energy. But there were times when he went for deep, deep healing and deep rest, and he didn't want anyone around him. He didn't take a single apostle with him. He didn't take a bodyguard with him. He didn't take a rabbit with him. He went only with a bladder of water, and that was it. And he would just rest and rest and recover. We were told by the laws of Moses that all of us need a day of deep rest every seventh day. And that's not just a cure for depression, it's a cure for everything. The fact that it has been clinically proven that people who work day on end, will actually go into deep depression. Depression is nothing more than the loss of the ability to survive without effort. That's it. That's what depression is. The loss of the ability to recover from a deep, deep loss of energy. And so yes, what you're doing is incredibly beneficial. It's historically biblical, and not just in our Judeo-Christian tradition, but in the traditions of Buddhism, the traditions of Hinduism, the traditions of Sufism, in all the major religions of the world, to rest and recover. And let me give you an example. I think this will benefit everyone, not just you, Gina, but I'm turning this to the benefit of us all. The earth has aquifers in it that provide the underground wells with their water so that we can drill into them. And what we really are tapping into are little underground rivers They're little underground layers. They're not like rivers flowing like the Mississippi River, but they're underground layers of water that on which shale and other material forms of earth float. Literally, we have floating layers of shale and other clay and other forms of earth that float on layers of water, many, many layers down. And when these layers of water are depleted, what happens is that layers of earth sink. And we have actually experienced recently many, many sinkholes around where layers of earth have just sunk because of the disappearance of these underground rivers. And what these sinkholes are called geologically is areas of depression. They are areas of earth depression where the layers of earth have fallen and they will never recover. They will actually never, never recover. Now, in the psychological sense, there are many, many ways around areas that sank into non-recovery. And that's because we as spiritual beings are non-local. We're not local. We're not just this physical being that was born on earth with only one dimension of our soul in presence. This is why forgiveness works such incredible miracles, because what it does is it moves the soul around so that a new part of yourself moves into residency of your being that brings new life, new energy, and new hope. And we let go of that part of ourself that just fell into such deep depression. But we can't do that until we rest. We need to rest. We need to rest. We need to recover. And then we need to bring a whole new part of ourself into residency of our being. And you can do this very, very effectively by resting. So there are many, many historical examples. And I want to encourage you and everyone to explore those, all of those possibilities. And I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
You are so welcome. And we have, okay, we have Desmond. Hi, Desmond. You're on.
Hey, Glenda. I got confirmed Lutheran today.
You did what?
Confirmation at the St. John's.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. I also went around the world through America. And I visited all the holiest sites. I was actually in the Temple of the New Jerusalem Reform in America.
Uh-huh.
And I got to watch a girl get confirmed, you know, with the Torah and all. And your prayers are you're almost identical to theirs.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so happy for you.
I also passed on your books through email and your pictures to the head rabbi there. I thought she was using your book, and I realized it wasn't. It's almost identical, so I was confused whether they were using your book or what was happening, and then I figured it out. But anyhow,
they came from Yeshua.
Right, right. I went to St. John's, and I gave your book and your pictures to a lot of people, and I have a lot of projects on the go, and I'm resting right now. I'm in a magnetic bed or a magnetic sheet, and I switched the polarity up.
Wonderful.
For a compression and expansion to stimulate quick healing as possible. I visited all the holy sites that I could. There's this one holy site in New Mexico that I visited. And the reason that they built it is because there was a manifestation of Yeshua's crucifix, like the actual wood of his crucifix in New Mexico. A man just dug down into the ground and he pulled out this tree, and I talked to them and I gave them a whole bunch of wisdom, and now they're going to start implementing some of it, and it'll be a lot more sacred because, like, they have, like, the tree of heaven, it's called, and they have all the limbs cut off. It's just a stump, and I'm like, what about your place? And I'll give you Anastasia's seed blessing, and you guys can turn it into Shambhala. And I'm swimming, like, it's really cold here, and I got a thermo suit, so I go swimming in the lake even though it's cold, which is good. I guess life is really good, but I'm trying to get this computer to work, and I was talking with that head rabbi woman, and I told her I was going to break it because I just get so frustrated sometimes with these computers, right? Like, I know that you're having some challenges, too, with technology.
Well, Desmond, it sounds like you're having a wonderful, wonderful time. You just keep up the good work, okay?
Okay, thank you, Wanda.
You're welcome. You just keep up all the wonderful, inspiring work that you're doing, and I'm so, so glad to hear that you're doing so well and moving through so many spiritual levels of understanding. One of the things I want to talk about today, because it's so relevant to our lives at all times and so important to our lives at all times, and also we're getting ready to undertake a new seminar on this subject. And the subject is forgiveness. This is a subject that I think has been greatly misunderstood. And in so many ways, we need to take a new look at exactly what forgiveness is. According to Yeshua, there's absolutely nothing that can change our life more quickly or completely than to either forgive or be forgiven. But we, unfortunately, resist this. We resist it a lot because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to make other people feel badly. We are afraid of the subject of what's wrong. We keep hoping that something that really is wrong is actually right. If we just keep looking and waiting with it long enough, it'll all become right. And we just keep working with it and thinking, okay, I know there's a needle in this haystack somewhere, and this needle is going to sew me a golden garment. I just know it will. But the fact is, when things are not moving smoothly in a right direction, revealing to us the right kind of results, we need to take a look at it. And it's not about judgment. Forgiveness really does not require that we judge anything. And we have to learn how to forgive without prefacing it first with a judgmental attitude or a condemnation or resentment or guilt. Forgiveness is not the purging of guilt. And that's hard to see, because we can feel awfully guilty about some things. It's not also about releasing blame, shame, regret, or anger about something someone did to us. These are all just human emotions and not the actual substance that needs to be forgiven. You see, forgiveness is lifting the blockages within us that are preventing the flow of life. That's what it really is. We put up blockages when something doesn't feel right to us, or when something isn't right, or when we've done something that isn't right. We'll put up blockages. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your whole body feels like a tightened fist? Or you may just lose so much energy on something. You feel like a cold, limp piece of spaghetti. Well, life is just not flowing. Actually, the root meaning of forgiveness is giving it forward, giving forward. It has to do with the restoration of trust. Giving forward is restoring the trust in yourself. Giving forward is restoring your trust in a project, restoring your trust in something. You know, what have we got to lose? Let's face it. If something's wrong, it's going to keep being wrong, whether we, one way or the other. In other words, letting life move and move on regardless of what happened yesterday is going to increase our opportunities of well-being. And it's not like we're giving permission for something bad to be perpetuated. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. But sometimes it just can't be avoided as part of life, because foresight doesn't see everything that hindsight can see. When we're driving down the road, we don't see all the curves in the road. We don't see all the black ice that might be there. We don't see someone who might have forgotten to turn their headlights on. Sometimes, unfortunate circumstances happen. But what we have to realize is that the first handle on anything that ever went wrong is to forgive. Because until we forgive, we're blinded. We're blinded by what happened. I once had it was a near accident, but the other person put on their brakes, spun three times on the road, and hit a telephone pole. Fortunately, I was a better driver, and I pulled off the road, and I went across the road to check on this person. And she was just in a panic. She was just going crazy. What did I do? What happened? What happened? What happened? And I just said, it doesn't matter what happened. First, just, it's okay. Are you all right? And I got her into a state of mind where she could say, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. But she kept saying, but what happened? What happened? And I said, we'll figure that out. Just, are you all right? And I said, can you step outside the car? Yeah, I can step outside the car. Okay, let's just look around. And then she said, oh, my God, my car, it ran into the pole. And I said, you know, do you have insurance? Yeah, I have insurance. Okay, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Let's call 911. Let's get some assistance for you. And she said, I didn't know that my brakes didn't work. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. We'll figure it all out. You see, everybody panics when something goes wrong. It doesn't matter what it is that went wrong. We could be in a relationship having an argument with someone we love dearly. And you know what gets to be worse than the argument itself? I mean, what's worse than the thing we're arguing about, which may be insignificant? What gets to be worse is we can't stand to be arguing with someone we love. The argument itself gets to be worse than the thing we were arguing about. And somebody has to say, hey, wait just a minute. wait a minute. What are we even arguing about? I love you, you love me. I don't know what we need to fix, but let's figure it out together. You see? That's what forgiveness is. It's not about judging. It's about moving on. It's about getting outside the panic state. It's about getting beyond the crisis, getting beyond what happened that wasn't supposed to happen that caused a really big upset, getting beyond that point. And, you know, so many times the crisis becomes worse than the thing that caused the crisis. And there's always going to be something, some little something that doesn't go right. Maybe it's just the car doesn't start. Maybe we didn't get an email we were expecting. Maybe some money didn't come in that we really, really needed to pay a bill. But let's just say it was some money we needed to pay a bill. If we get so deeply upset about that, we spend our time calling the person trying to get the money in. We're wasting time. We could figure out how to pay that bill a different way, or perhaps call the creditor and explain to them that we had a momentary crisis, but we're not being irresponsible. We're going to get that handled. You see, it's the upset that causes the problem. And until we get that upset handled, we're not going to be able to go in and fix the problem. The same is true with so many disease, so-called disease diagnoses. We get diagnoses, and we have to remember that the words that describe a diagnosis are just there for a scientific medical convenience to locate and summarize package complications that may be attending a specific situation, medications that may be appropriate for that situation. But there are no two disease configurations that are exactly alike. You could look at 100 people who've been diagnosed with diabetes, and not one of them will have the same complications or the same implications or need the same medications. And when it really, really gets down to it, what it would take to create a positive recovery in life so that any implications that really are pathological could be handled uniquely per situation rather than as a package deal. You know, we like these package deals. We like putting together all of our problems and then holding a negative opinion about it. And that puts together a configuration of problems where it's so difficult to sort it out and so difficult to get resolution. See, the point I'm trying to make here is that forgiveness is just about what we need to do to break down these stopped points of problems that allow life to reconfigure in a different way, in a different place. Let's just say you might have been an abused child. I'm really, really so sorry if you were. I'm sure everyone who knows you is so sorry that you were. And nothing will change the fact that you were, except for the fact that there were a lot of implications in that that don't have to remain implicated. There were complications of that that don't have to remain complicated. There was a blockage in life at that point when you were 3 years old, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 years old, that don't have to stay blocked. Life can move on. And as life moves on, we are able to discover new possibilities and new configurations. And according to, and with my answer that I gave Gina earlier in the call, there may be moments of deep rest that we need, because deep rest allows us to release and to let go of certain points of fixed negativity that will not go away. But if we rest, life will move around it. And that's what's important, is that life moves on around it. Life keeps moving forward. And that's what forgiveness really is. This never-ending quest, Jesus said, to forgive without ceasing. In Matthew 18, 21, 22, he said, or the scripture says, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. That means exponential. You see, stopping the flow of life can be dangerous in so many ways. Restoring the flow of life can bring about results that restore vitality and resources that we can use to pay our debts or to recover from the debts others owe us. And there are 5 great penalties for not forgiving. Guilt is the cancer of our soul. Imagine the implications of that on our body. Vengeance is the inflammation of our soul. Imagine the implications of that on our body. Dread of tomorrow deadens our heart. Regret kills tomorrow. Resentment destroys self-esteem. All of these things affect the condition we are in emotionally, psychologically, and physically. Not to mention socially and productively and creatively. So, I would like today, as we go into our blessing, for you to take into your prayer a really important line in the Lord's Prayer, which says, forgive us our debt as we forgive others. Remember that you will lighten your load by releasing that which you have not forgiven, or by hanging on to all the IOUs that you've got from others. Lighten your load and let life move on. You will receive more of the Spirit of God, more of the Spirit of love, more of the Holy Spirit, more grace, and more of all the blessings of life. So with that thought, I really actually want to begin our blessing. We're at that time. Let us just be seated. Be still. Be in your chair. All your body parts uncrossed. No crossed legs or arms. Just relax. Allow your attention to fall into your heart. Take a very deep breath. I'm going to say a prayer to Yeshua. And when I'm complete, I would like for you to begin your prayer. For all that you desire, all that you need, all that your heart longs for, and include in that a prayer of forgiveness. While you're doing that, the blessing givers and I will conduct a very special intensity of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, to you and through you. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your eternal love. We thank you for giving to us your heart, your soul, your life, to demonstrate to us what is possible for the presence of God incarnate in a human form. You are the Son of God and at the same time the brother of humanity, our friend, our companion, the one who gives us hope and helps us through our trials and our troubles. We ask for your blessings today, and we surrender ourselves into your loving hands. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. The blessing has been given. Now, what's next for you is to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Because words activate the mind. We want to remain quiet in the Spirit. As the Spirit of God fills us, heals us, gives us rest and peace. Be blessed now and forevermore. God loves you, and so do I. I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.